Welcome to the last Social Media Church podcast of 2019. I'm here with Aaron Magnuson. Aaron, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I cannot believe it is the last episode of 2019.
Yes.
Where is time going? I do not know.
And we have some exciting plans ahead for 2020. Already got some great conversations recorded, as well as some just great things on the horizon. So I want to tease that a little bit. We'll share more about that as we get into 2019. Personally, I've got something big that I'm launching that I'm just eager to explode with and share. And so we'll share that here in 2020. But today we're going to look back on 2019 and then spend the majority of the conversation making some predictions about 2020. This is one of my favorite episodes every year. And last year I did this with Kenny Jang, and
yes,
Kenny and I always have a big debate around these things. And Kenny, I feel confident, will have a social media debate out of this conversation when he listens to it. But Aaron, as you look back on 2019 and some of the things that just emerged or developed or matured in the world of social media or died in the world of social media, what stands out to you?
I think one of the biggest things that stood out to me, and the reason I'm going to bring this up is, and we're going to start with death first and move into life, yes, as we think about the future of 2020, but, Snapchat, that's an app that I've recently deleted off of my phone. I kept wanting to make it work, but I kept finding myself having more and more conversations in Instagram. And I felt like Instagram continued to cater to my ability to have personal not necessarily private in the way of Snapchat, but personal conversations, whether it was based around my story, whether it was something that I just needed to communicate quickly. It's actually funny. I can think of multiple days throughout 2019 where I was having multiple conversations with the same person within matter of minutes on three different mediums.
Yes.
With one person, I was entertaining three conversations about different stuff, which I think speaks to our culture and where we are in 2019.
Yeah.
But as far as Snapchat, to the core of what Snapchat is, the quickest way to communicate, that might be true. And in some ways, Instagram frustrates me that it doesn't immediately open. I almost wish Instagram did immediately open with the camera open so that you can start creating content.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to talk quickly. It's just nobody, at least in my circle, and I might have phased into Snap too late. Nobody in my circle was communicating back to me via Snap, and the people posting to their stories and stuff, it just wasn't engaging. And so I have downloaded and deleted Snapchat off of my phone multiple times throughout the course of 2019, wanting it to work because the filters are better on there as well.
Yep.
And so those personal conversations are enhanced. Instagram falls behind in that way. But it just wasn't good enough to keep me engaged in the way that it was created for, and that is the quickest way to talk. I found out that I didn't want the quickest way to talk. I want the best way to talk.
Yes.
And that was not Snapchat.
Aaron, I want to welcome you to being old.
There you go.
Because this is what happens. I mean, I think the reality is I remember when Snapchat came out and I was like, this is so ridiculously stupid. This is never going to catch on. And then it did. And I'm glad I jumped into it when I did, because I learned for Instagram how to use certain functionality. And I remember thinking, why would anybody want content to just disappear? What's the value of that? And now I find myself, I feel like almost 80% of my social media consumption is now Instagram stories. And so that medium has really caught on. I think what's interesting is the maturation of a lot of these platforms. Now, the overall engagement of Snapchat has declined a little bit. It is still the go-to place for teenagers to interact and private messaging. And I think you're right. It's the cooler of the two platforms, but I'm with you. I'm 39 years old. I'll turn 40 years old this year, and I don't have, none of my friends are on Snapchat. And so I have no use for the platform. I keep it on my phone to tinker with here and there, and just to see, I'll check in on it once a month or so. But I'm with you. My personal inner engagement on Snapchat and holistically, and I don't believe that's going to change. I think Snapchat has just found its niche with a younger generation. I don't think it will age up. I think Instagram will continue to copy any new features, do it not quite as good, but it will have a higher adoption rate. And that said, Aaron, I feel like what has happened in 2019 to me is Instagram has really established itself as a long-term player in social media. It's been around for a long time, but the growth in the last 2 years has been tremendous. It's now over 1 billion monthly active users, and it has my attention more than anyone else. And honestly, anybody over the age of 25, I feel like between maybe 25 and 50 is living on Instagram. And that's where the engagement is. And I don't see that significantly changing over the next couple of years. I think as we look forward, I mean, I think when you look at Instagram has expanded from Instagram post to Instagram stories, to Instagram live, to IGTV and direct messages, you kind of have this holistic platform in one mobile app. And so I think Instagram is here to stay. And I think the continued growth and expansion of Instagram in 2019 is really incredible. I don't know that they did anything real new though. I mean, IGTV was year before, it maybe grew a little bit, but not tremendously. Instagram stories, you know, maybe you had more stickers, but I don't know that it changed tremendously. I mean, maybe the polling feature was new this year. I don't know if that was around 2018 at all, but it didn't really change a lot, but it just the adoption rate and the engagement just seemed to be through the roof.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm trying to think as you were talking what was new. I think they really doubled down on the stories feature, adding those things like you're talking about, polls, questions, and really they saw, oh, all the engagement, I felt like they saw all the engagement is happening in stories. Maybe not all, upwards of 80, 90% of the engagement is happening, not even in the comment section, but in the stories. And so, yeah, that's true. You saw the poll questions come out. You saw the just ask me a question and giving the watcher or the audience freedom. And those almost, it seems like what Instagram did was a really good job. And I think it's why their live feature isn't so great. They did a really good job of making all of the stories feel live, whether you saw it live or not, by incorporating those features. Because you could still reply with a question. You knew that the story person was going, the person who ushered the story was going to see that. And then hopefully get back to you. That's funny that you say that. I haven't figured out a great way to utilize that. And I'm honestly really bad at going back and checking, because I always like to make sure that I have stuff in my story for the sake of people, but I'm not great at going back and sharing results or whatever. But I just did one last night into today where my daughter was watching Tangled.
Okay.
And they're singing the song about having a dream. And I was like, oh, this is funny. I'll ask Brielle if she has a dream. So I recorded that. Do you have a dream? And she was so focused on the movie. She was adamantly saying no, I think mostly to get me to stop talking to her. But she was saying she didn't have a dream. And so I posted Instagram and I was like, hey, can you help Brielle out? What do you think her dream should be? And so I've had people responding. And then what I really like is when you share the answer, you can also tack on another video. So I'd have the question up in the upper corner and I'd ask Brielle, do you want this to be your dream? So far, she said no to everything. I have a couple in the hopper that I haven't asked her about yet that I need to, that I think she might actually say yes to, like starring in the Frozen 3 movie, if that's a thing. But there's ways that it engages your audience where it's like reminds them. Instagram was good about, okay, stop just consuming the content and give low bar things to actually engage with these people who are giving out content. And the people who were able to, and I'm not saying this was me at all, the people who were creatively able to execute on that at scale, I think those are the stories that you and I watch most often.
Yes. Yes. It really is incredible what's happening there. And I think as we get into 2020, I think we're going to have a lot of that, those conversations. And Aaron, one of the things that I do every year is I pick a platform of the year that I'm going to specifically dig into and prioritize. And so in 2018, it was Instagram. In 2017, it was Instagram. 2018, it was YouTube. 2019, it was LinkedIn.
Oh, very good, yeah.
And so in 2019, I spent a lot of time. I logged into LinkedIn every single day. In 2019, at least that I can remember. I don't remember a day I didn't log into LinkedIn. I prioritized unique content for LinkedIn. I started engaging with LinkedIn Live and posting videos on LinkedIn and communicating actively on LinkedIn. And practically, I saw a lot. I mean, I think I doubled the people that, you know, that my followers that were connected to me. A lot of that came from a YouTube video I did about LinkedIn, where a lot of people then asked me to be connected or started following my content there. But so LinkedIn was a priority for me, and I think it's continuing to grow and expand from a ministry impact standpoint. I still don't think it should be a priority, for pastors and ministry leaders, but I do think it's a good place to be engaged, and I think it will be a platform that will continue to grow. Aaron, I'll share towards the end of the podcast what I'm going to focus on 2020. Oh, very good. I'm curious where you are as well. The other things that I saw develop, and this isn't based on any data, but I think we naturally saw YouTube continue to grow. Yeah. And I believe YouTube is less of a social network and more of the future of TV and how people are now consuming video content, both on their TV, on their mobile devices, and on their computers. And I think that will continue to expand and grow. I feel like there was an expansion of WhatsApp. Now, personally, I've gotten into more group chats that people have invited me into. And WhatsApp was very foreign to me before 2019. And I used here and there, where now I feel like I'm actively participating in conversations on WhatsApp. And I expect that to continue. I think it was interesting just in Facebook news that the WhatsApp founder and the Instagram founder both left Facebook this last year. And I think there were a lot of questions, what's going to happen? Well, Facebook doesn't seem like they've skipped a beat since they left. So I think that's interesting. And then the other big news in 2020 was Facebook spending time with the government, a lot of time with the government, and losing a lot of trust with what are they doing with their data. And so I think there are a lot of questions still of what's going to happen with Facebook, with their data, and what happened, you know, where does that go from here? Because I don't feel like that's resolved. And then there were a couple other developments I want to bring up around Facebook. But Aaron, any thoughts you have around the data issues that Facebook experienced in 2019 or people that you've come in contact with?
Yeah, I think my first response to when all this was going down, I totally forgot about that. I'm glad you brought it up. My first response to that was a humorous one, in the sense that I just remember reading the articles and I was just like, I'm sorry, what did you guys think was happening? Were you unaware that you are giving mass amounts of data to, like, just by existing on Facebook? Why do you think it's free? Why do you think the product is so good? And I think at the time of this recording, so for the people who are maybe listening to this in the future, this might be a strange conversation or an archaic age that we lived in, where we weren't in control of our own data and we didn't make money off of our own data, those sorts of things. But for the world we lived in 2019, I don't know what people thought. And I guess I still have a level of that response to all that went on. But for me, I've always looked at, I remember when voice was big with Alexa, but was first coming out with Alexa and Google, and they were doing things like Amazon is another one that, which is associated with Alexa, but like just knowing what you wanted to buy before you knew. And then Amazon really solidified that with buying. And then Google took that to our lives and they're like, they know what we want to do before we need to do it. And my response was, that's not creepy. Like, thank you, Google, for taking something off of my plate. And so my view on data has always been, if they can take my data to make me a product for free that is going to serve me better, take all of the data you want. Now, I'm saying this in 2019, where there is no option to for people to purchase my mass and your mass amounts of data that clearly yes. we're investing into these platforms. Now, a Neil Smith that says, man, I'm going to invest in this app for this entire year. Now, if there's a way in the future where you can actually make money off of that, that's a different conversation, right? You'd be very upset if they're mining your data and you're not seeing any of it. But that's the world we live in 2019. And that's fully what I expected. And what I get in return is a way better product. And way better innovation. So do I hope we live in a world where if I invest for an entire year into a platform and that ultimately makes me money or makes I'm getting some sort of asset off of what I'm contributing? Yeah, that's great. And I think that's where we start to move into like the decentralized talk. And that might be a big player in 2020 in the future. But as far as am I upset? No, me personally. Now, people on the whole, creating skepticism. Anytime you're doing stuff that's shady, that's in the dark, that isn't very transparent, regardless of if it's cool or not, That element of pulling the rug out from underneath people, which I think we experienced in 2019 like never before, where we really felt like, wow, maybe I understood it a little bit, but I really feel like I got the rug pulled out from under me. I can appreciate that take, and I can appreciate that people might have felt that way. That makes me wonder for the future, especially with these upcoming generations, these kids that are like, hey, look, that's not like... not to go down a political route, but there's just stuff that happened in that 2016 election where we were okay with, the nicest way to say it, a very crass representative. And what ultimately killed the other representative was a lack of transparency. And so what our society deemed as the unforgivable sin was a lack of transparency. And so when you're moving into a world where transparency is everything, and the younger generations value it, it makes me interested for the future of Facebook. They are massive, and they could ride in a decline for a really long time. So I'm not saying they're going to disappear, but I am saying if we're talking about where the next thing is or the next thing for young people, it's really hard. And it's interesting, Instagram here at the end of 2019, every time you open the app, it has a little Facebook, the company, down at the bottom of the app now, so that if Instagram is being associated with Facebook. And it just makes me wonder if people, when they start to realize Instagram isn't this standalone thing, like Facebook actually owns it, because I think some people are shockingly in denial about that or don't understand that. But Instagram's different. No, it's not. It's the same thing. It just makes me wonder the longevity when you've betrayed people that way, whether it's perceived or whatever, or actually reality. It makes me wonder how long you can consistently get the younger generations in there when it's like, mom and like the people who are going to stay there are the ones who are invested there and have invested a lot of time and effort there. But if you're just starting out and you have a whole swath of things to choose from, which you will in 2020, and someone else is picking there, I'm taking this one app for the whole year. It makes me think, while Instagram is good now, where do people actually want to start out? And that's, I think, what our 2020 talk will be on the latter half of this podcast. But that's what I thought about the data stuff. I can see where people are coming from. And I think it's interesting. I don't know if Facebook can bounce back because they were so devious at one point.
Yes, it will be interesting to see what happens. You know, they got in a lot of trouble. And I think it will be interesting. You know, I said a year ago that Facebook is not, like people often ask, what is the next Facebook? There will never be another Facebook. But I would say this year became a little unstable, where maybe there is a place, that if Google wanted to make a real run at social media, that there could be a place of establishing a more transparent, social network. And I think there's some, and you're seeing some emergence of niche social networks. So things like Nextdoor really emerged this year as a social network for neighborhoods. And, you know, I really see Bleacher Report developing as a social network for sports, and becoming more and more social rather than just, you know, sports news. And
not to interrupt you, to prove your point, I'm getting more and more followers on Bleacher Report, and I'm not even trying. Let me say, I'm not being social on Bleacher Report at all. I'm getting more and more followers on Bleacher Report every day. And I just had my first experience. So I went to Oregon State. Chad Ocho Cinco Johnson also went to Oregon State. Most people don't know that. Just because it's hilarious. He never went to a single class. Chad came from a junior college, understandably because of grades. He never went to a single class. He was there long enough to go through the entire season, won the Fiesta Bowl, and get good representation so that he could get drafted. And that clearly that worked. He never went to a single class, flunked out, but that's not what he was there for, which I am totally on board with. That's a whole nother conversation. But he was doing a Q&A on Ask Me Anything, and it was trending on Bleacher Report. And so this is what I was ultimately going to say. One of my friends who I know, who we've had from my hometown, someone I've had a face-to-face conversation with, someone I know, I got a notification that this person commented on this thing, just like Facebook. This is the app that is telling me about sports updates, sports news, scores, and everything. And it treated me like Facebook. And I was like, this is so strange. This person commented on this thing. So I went and checked it out because I was like, I want to see what this person asked Chad Johnson. Yeah. And they happened to ask him what his favorite place to eat was on campus at Oregon State, to which he replied, my only thing that I was eating for a diet back then was McDonald's. And so it wasn't any local, it wasn't any like hometown thing. But I had this experience of my sports app being a completely 100% social. And so I just want to further your point. I do think that that's really interesting where everybody is looking at what Facebook started, and that ultimately is digital community. And now every app realizes we are all digital, and every app has an opportunity to be digitally communal.
It is, yeah, it's fascinating what is developing in the world of social media and just the internet and information, and even Wikipedia in some ways is a social network, but it's Facebook is still king, and it's not going to get dethroned overnight. It is a massive beast, and Instagram and WhatsApp are massive aspects of Facebook, and where this all goes is interesting. Let me just kind of say a couple more things about Facebook. And then there's one more that emerged this year that we haven't mentioned, but it was a massive emergence in 2019. Facebook did a, here's one thing. They introduced Libra. They basically introduced that they were going to be creating their own money in 2020 and built on the blockchain. And that's a big deal. And then Donald Trump called them out on it. And so we're not going to get into politics here, but then several people, so they've gotten 100 different organizations like MasterCard and Uber and, you know, several of these big organizations got behind it to give credibility to this. So it wasn't just Facebook created it, but they were bringing in partners to basically oversee it and give it governance. And then after a lot of the government trust things, these organizations pulled out. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with that in 2020, but really speaks to some of the trust issues. But fascinating that a social media company has gotten into creating money and what that means, because it's almost like this whole world of there's 3 billion active users, and if they have their own currency, what does that mean for the future of transactions and governments and all kinds of things? So that gets really complicated. The other interesting thing about Facebook that was a significant development, I wouldn't say it was new, but they have shifted. They actually changed their mission statement. I believe it was at the end of 2018. But their mission statement used to be to connect the world. Their mission statement now is to give people the power to build community and bring the world closer together. And so they are all about community. And what their primary focus in 2019 was is Facebook groups. And so you heard that on this podcast a number of times. Build Facebook groups, the power of Facebook groups in your church. Nona Jones came on here and talked about Facebook groups and how important this is as a representative of Facebook. And so we saw that significant shift in focus of Facebook groups. And I would say the majority of my interactions on Facebook are now in Facebook groups. It makes a lot of sense. And even when I go into Times Square, I have not been to Times Square in 2019 without seeing a Facebook groups billboard. And so they're significantly focused on that function of their platform. Are you seeing the same thing, Aaron?
Totally. Yes. Yeah, if you saw this on video, I was emphatically nodding my head. I want to talk about the Facebook ads for a minute, because I started seeing a bunch of Facebook ads, and it just happened to be right around the time that they were having all of this data issue stuff. And the first Facebook ad I saw, I didn't know how to feel about it, because it was so strange that a social media company would be advertising to me on TV. And you're talking about in Times Square, like where you're seeing, and now I'm looking at these commercials. And I think what's interesting is our church is actually trying to figure out how to shoot these, because we're trying to get people into community at our church. And we want to totally rip off their commercials and be like, hey, look, we have all these groups, all these people doing these different things, get into community. And so seeing Facebook make a commercial to advertise people to find community, it was like three or four different worlds all colliding into one. And I think that's ultimately what 2019 is. I mean, both of us on this podcast have uttered, not to get political, we've talked about money and all of these random things that we're talking about that I don't think are so random anymore. because we're entering into a world, into 2020, where we are all digitally, we understand digital community, where those used to be not the same thing and not even a thing. I mean, there was digital things that you consumed for reasons like a hobby, whether that's television, whatever that is. And now we all seem to live in, whether we realize it or not, we all live in this digital world. Some of us have been living in a digital world in chat forums and stuff for a really long time. But the transition that seems to have happened in 2019 is that now everybody lives in a digital community, and it takes no skill or knowledge or effort to do that. You just do it. Yes. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we start seeing, Facebook isn't a social media company. Facebook is a company, and their skill is digital community. And the advantage that they have, and what's really going to keep them solidified, they're the first ones to do it and be resourced to do it to a really large scale. Yes. And so they're setting the way, well, they've already set the path for what a digital community looks like. And now we see stuff like Bleacher Report, where everybody is trying to not become the next social network. You were correct when you said that. They are all trying to capitalize on digital engagement for how we all live our lives.
Yes. And I think we're spending a lot of time talking about Facebook. We have Instagram and Facebook groups and Libra. Yes. The other thing I want to bring up with Facebook that's actually, I think, very significant is that they've gotten into hardware significantly. Now, people that listen know that I'm big on virtual reality and Oculus. I cannot believe it's moving so slow, that space. I thought mass adoption would have happened much faster. I think Facebook did as well.
Can I say one thing really quick in regards to that? I have a coworker here who is also massively, and on my shelf back here, you can see my Oculus Quest. But he was having a difficult time walking for this Christmas season, 2019. He was having a difficult time walking into a store to find Oculus Quest. He's been into VR for a long time, and they just came out with a technology where you can actually connect it to your computer, which is what he's excited about because he's an online gamer. And so he was like, I'm having a really difficult time finding these things. People are just snatching this everywhere. And so I wonder if that mass adoption, yes, it is slow, but I'm wondering if this Christmas season, end of 2019, kicks it off, and we'll have lots of conversations about this in 2020. So carry on, Nils, but I just wanted to point that out, that it is slow, but I think there's going to be this a very quick shift because things like the Quest are so hard to ignore. Yes. And it's tough to go out and buy a gaming console when there's so many amazing things that you can do regarding digital gaming on your face.
Yes. And I practically, it's so cool, the technology. And the Oculus Quest has taken it to the next level. And I would say the affordability becomes even more and more affordable. I thought last Christmas was going to be the breakthrough. I think you're right. I think it's the perfect kind of Christmas gift. Kids like it. The whole family, I think, can engage with it. But it's moved slow. What has really been cool this Christmas for my family is we got Facebook portals for all the grandparents that connect to the TV. So my mom doesn't have a good TV, so we actually got her like the picture frame one. And then we got, you know, my wife's parents and my dad and my stepmother, ones that connect to their TV. And they got them early. And we got one for us, so that basically our kids can interact with their grandparents TV to TV. And I've been saying this for years. My wife is like, you've been talking about this for years of why can't you connect a webcam to your TV? Because we have computers for 6 years. I've had a computer connect to my TV with a Roku or an Apple TV. Why can't I connect a webcam easily to my TV without a computer, like a, you know, a big Mac mini or something? And Facebook did it, and it's $100. To connect this computer to your TV, and it just connects to the Wi-Fi, and it literally follows us around this living room. It's so cool. My kids are spending, you know, hours talking to their grandparents the last week.
And is it Facebook Messenger video calls? Because I got the advantage of seeing Nils's story of this, and I noticed that the filters were familiar, and your mom was trying on a bunch of ridiculous filters. It was so good, and I can't wait to be that person in 30 years, when the technology is so out of my league that I just want to put on some filters. But what's interesting, I mean, you're furthering the point. A digital community isn't just the comment section. We're we're moving into video and VR, where digital community, because that's an absolutely digital relationship. You're talking to someone through your TV. There's nothing physical about that. Outside of the fact that you can see them talking and they look a little bit more real than an avatar. But digital community, I mean, and where does your mom live for reference? I mean,
she's outside of Houston in Texas. Yes. She's
away.
Thousands of miles away.
Like you're in the living room. I mean, you could legitimately have a Christmas party, a Christmas celebration in your living room. And have it be legitimate, like legitimately feel like the family is there.
Yes.
And all it is a couple buttons. Your kids are using it. Like it's unbelievable the day and age we live in at the end of 2019.
Yes. And when I think about what we did with, you know, the FaceTime is what we typically did phone to phone thing. My kids were engaged for about a minute and a half, maybe. Now with the TV, it's like they're literally in the same room. It just amplifies the personal connection. Okay, this is what we got to talk about, though. The biggest development of 2019 was TikTok.
Yes.
TikTok found an explosion. It was basically the new Snapchat to me of like, how ridiculously stupid can a social network be? And TikTok is that. But I would say the mass adoption of it here at the end of 2019, but I would say that the steady growth throughout 2019 was unbelievable. And it seems like this trajectory, it's not going to slow down anytime soon. I'm curious your thoughts or experience with TikTok as it's taken off.
Well, here we go again, where Aaron was being advertised to on social media, and I just saw TikTok ads everywhere, everywhere.
Where I saw them.
Yeah,
all the time.
I mean, my Facebook feed, YouTube, what you name it, it was there, and it was just I didn't know what it was. And the disadvantage for something like TikTok is initially for me just went in the category of spam, like that somebody's trying to make it big, right, with their social network, and they're just dumping a ton of money into ads. And it wasn't until a month ago that I was like, all right, I'm just going to get on here. And I didn't have the creative capacity to start creating new content, original content, native content in the native language, to another app, but I knew that I needed to start experimenting with it and posting it. So my entire profile is every single cup of coffee that I will drink from this point forward from when I first started, which happened to be on November 13th. Yep. And I have, and this is, today is December 23rd, and I have 109 videos. So between November 13th and December 23rd, I've drank 109 cups of coffee. And so I just creatively do, sometimes I'll find something that's trending and I'll figure out how to do that with coffee.
Yep.
And so I've just been able to experiment, it's something that I do every day.
Yep.
Like I have at least one cup of coffee every single day. And it forces me, it's actually cut back on my coffee consumption, because if I don't feel like making a video, I don't drink the cup of coffee. I wanted to get on there, but I didn't want to think creatively about something else. So that's all my channel will ever be from this point forward. But I have a whole bunch of videos on there, and they have gotten progressively better because I understand the platform better. And I have a body of work that's on there for when this takes off. So it already has taken off. I would say it that way.
But it's not mass adoption yet. It's still
definitely not yet. Definitely not yet.
Platform.
And I appreciated what you said in this podcast. And for our listeners, I think it's really important that we hear what Nils said there. Well, he actually retracted on it. So, at least slightly, there will never be another Facebook. But I think the big takeaway from 2019 that we need to talk about, and I'm going to let you talk about TikTok too, Nils, is that we're not looking for the next platform. There won't be that, because there's a whole bunch of digital communities and we're all a part of different, we have different friend groups, we have different interest groups. And so we need to be looking at these digital communities, AKA apps, the same way, where there's different people that live in, and we've been saying this forever. You talk differently on Facebook than you do on Twitter, than you do on LinkedIn. You just do. And some people didn't understand that and they just repost everything everywhere, right? But these different things are organisms and they have different languages because they're different communities. You talk differently to one set of friends as you do another set of friends, as you do your family, as you do your wife or your husband. And so what's interesting to me about TikTok is, will the first thing that I was just about to say, proving my point, is it going to be like Instagram and Facebook? No, it's not. And it might not be that massive. I don't think anything will be, but that's because there's a whole bunch of these different pockets everywhere. And so is TikTok your group, your language, your people? Now, will there be a whole bunch of people going to some stuff? Like, not everyone's going to Bleacher Report, right? Like, there's going to be a ton of people that go to TikTok. But I think my initial knee-jerk reaction here at the end of 2019 to ask, is it like Facebook or will it be Instagram? No, but that's because we're living in a different world going into 2020. Yes. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we're learning a new medium. And it is, as you're, I love what you've done with the cup of coffee of just figuring out a way to use it, because I think that's the core of I use social media personally as an experiment so that I can then help others better use it. And sometimes you just gotta find an excuse of how to use it. And so how to use filters, how to use music in the background, how to use whatever the function is, start using the platform and figure out how it works. And then you'll begin figure out how to create better content or what engages best in your voice. But don't overthink it. By the time you've just thought it all out, it's changed again. And so you need to just start using it. So I love how you've addressed it. I think we're going to see another. So as we go into 2020, I think what we're going to see is another Facebook copying TikTok and taking the medium and bringing it into Facebook. And so Facebook has created an app called Lasso, which is an exact copy of TikTok. And if you're in the US, you can download it. Facebook has done it quietly. Most people don't know about it, but you can go in the App Store and download Lasso and you'll see it is literally, it is even more of a copy than what Instagram Stories was to Snapchat. And so I think what you're going to see is Facebook letting TikTok teach people how to use a platform and then grabbing the attention because they have such a mass audience that they can bring into their platform and bring that medium to the masses. So that's my prediction of what's going to happen. But I do think that this is not a trend that's going to just come and go. Yes. This is a new creative outlet that you're going to see. And what you see on Instagram Stories today versus what you saw a year ago or even 2 years ago is tremendously more creative and engaging. And I think that's why people are so engaged with it. And I think you're going to see that more and more with TikTok as well. And so I think TikTok, as strange as it feels now, I think it's going to feel much more natural and it's going to be really engaging just to flip through, just like you do with Instagram Stories now. And so while it's interesting, and I feel so old when I get on TikTok, and I've made a couple of videos and it's been interesting to see the engagement that's happened there. I have not prioritized it as a platform to create content on. And so to get into 2020, TikTok is not the platform that I am prioritizing in 2020.
Fascinating.
This is a medium that might be more of a 2021 medium for me to invest in.
Interesting.
I will continue to experiment with TikTok in 2020. I think churches need to get a TikTok account and maybe start experimenting with how they can get on. If you're a church that's reaching a younger audience or wants to reach a younger audience, you need to prioritize TikTok.
Yes.
And I do think churches need to be reaching younger audiences, but getting on TikTok is not going to make you relevant.
Bingo.
But figuring out how to engage uniquely and natively within that platform, I think will help you reach that generation or engage that younger generation. So I think it's an important medium. I am not personally looking to engage that generation. I am looking to learn. So there are some of my clients that I work with that I will be prioritizing TikTok on. Yes. Already have. And so Nick Vujicic is one of my clients with Life Without Limbs. Be looking for his content that'll be out on TikTok here in the next week or two. And so I do see prioritization of that platform, I'm not personally going to be engaged in it. The thing that I would say, as I look to 2020, I think Instagram is going to continue to win. Totally. I think YouTube, while I said it's not a social network, I think the social side of YouTube is increasing significantly. And so I would prioritize that and make sure you're interacting with the content on YouTube. And YouTube actually has its own social network kind of built into it. The engagement isn't real high on there. But when you get, I think it's 10,000 subscribers, you can start doing stories and some other things.
Do you watch those, by the way?
Every now and then, not a ton.
Yeah, same.
But I think people will. I think people will start watching more of those, and I think that's going to become more of the experience within YouTube. And so I expect that to continue to expand. But I think Instagram continues to be word out. I think Instagram, IGTV, this will be a year that IGTV begins to pick up more momentum. And so
will you start posting to IGTV?
I will probably post once a month to IGTV. I don't know that it's, you know, YouTube from a content standpoint, it will continue to be my priority. I might start repurposing more of my content to IGTV. So maybe more regularly with repurposed content, but I'm not going to be creating much native content for IGTV. And I think for the most part, we'll just have to, we'll have to see, you know, I think we don't know, going into, 2020, what is going to grow and develop. But I do think TikTok, is going to continue to grow. I think Instagram engagement will continue to expand. I think really figure out how you use Instagram stories. I think that will continue to be a significant part of our engagement on social media. Aaron, I'm curious your perspective. What do you see, and what do you see churches needing to prioritize going into 2020?
Yeah. So I need to put you on the record. So you are saying, Nils Smith is saying his app of 2020 is Instagram. Is that what you're saying?
I would say for churches. I was thinking that. I was thinking about kind of going back to 2017 when I first prioritized Instagram and focusing on Instagram, because that's when I saw the biggest growth of my Instagram following and a lot of engagement. And I have actually seen a decline. I actually saw a spike in engagement, and then turns out there were all these bots that had gotten into Instagram and was messing up their system, kind of gaming the system. And so I was getting, for a little while, I was getting like 1200 views on every story, and now I'm back to like 500, 600 views on every story. So it's interesting to see how things go up and down.
Yes.
On the platform. But I'm always watching the numbers though, where attention is. And so I do think attention is on Instagram, and that's where churches should prioritize. Yes. I'm going to wait though.
Oh, okay. So you do have something else that Nils Smith personally is going to focus on.
Yes. And I think it should be a priority for churches. But what I try to do is focus on a platform that I think is emerging.
Yeah.
And that where I think churches might need to focus on 2021.
Okay.
Right. Now I say that to say, or where even, you know, I've been very focused on business leaders and small business in a lot of the work that I do. And so LinkedIn made sense for that. And I am using it with some of my business clients. And that's been helpful, but I don't think church leaders need to prioritize that. So, but then I want to hear what you think is ahead for 2020. And then we can maybe share where we're going to focus our personal time and energy.
There you go. I think Instagram, as far as the church is concerned, figuring out how to do Instagram community really well, because there's a lot of one-on-one interactions, whether that's in the comment section, whether that's a friend tagging a friend in the comment section. When I look at the comment section on Instagram, unlike YouTube, which is where I think YouTube is actually a communal social platform, is in the comment section of regularly posted channel content.
Yes.
That's where the community happens. I've friends who look at YouTube and they're like, one of the first things I do is go into the comment section to see what people are saying about this video before I continue or not. And so the community is actually that's the communal part of YouTube. And I think Instagram is similar, but it's all one-to-one. So whether it's DMs, whether it's in the comment section, most people are either talking to the poster or they're assuming that the poster is not going to respond and they're tagging one of their friends. And I don't generally look at the comment section outside of my own posts and outside of my friends' posts. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of group talking in there. Now, I don't know about the group functionality of Instagram, but I say all this to say, Instagram is where you have the biggest range of people. You were saying 25, which might be true, but I know high schoolers that are on Instagram and very engaged. And I know you do as well. So I'd probably tick that age on the younger side down. Now, I don't know where it peaks or where it gets older, but I know that there's people my parents' age, certainly on Instagram, that engage with my stories and those sorts of things. And so as far as churches go, and us as individuals as well, the best connection with the most bang for your buck will be Instagram, period.
Yes.
And so your church needs to be posting engaging content And you need, and not just your church, but you as a representative of your church, whether you're a pastor, what, regardless. I mean, I, one of the best advocates for Hillsong New York is Nils and Katie. And so I try to be, one of the best representatives for my church is me. And so it's important that no matter what role you play within your church, that you are advocating both for the organization, as a person and for yourself, which ultimately creates the connection to your organization. But Instagram is the best place to do that. And so there's going to be some creative mediums where you're going to catch attention that widen and broaden your net. And that would be things like TikTok, where you're like, oh man, what is this church doing? Or what is this particular pastor doing on these more niche, but it might be your language, where you're going to find your, think about networks as communities. And if you speak a really good language, maybe that's on LinkedIn. I know Nils and Kenny have had many good conversations where if you're more on the business side of church, LinkedIn is going to be your jam. But think about them as communities, and can I speak this community's language? Does this community care about me? Do they resonate with me? And if that's the case, then you can start posting creatively there. And you don't necessarily have to represent your church, but I think the best bang for your buck is going to be as a church, as an organization, posting Instagram for sure, but be engaged in the conversation. Also understand that the conversation is there. So maybe you're not, your church isn't posting to TikTok yet, but I know that in my videos that I've posted, there's been times where I've wanted to tag my church and we have an account, but I know that they're not going to get on there and comment. We got the name so that we had the name, but I know that the account isn't active yet. And so when I tag them, I also know that I'm directing people to an empty page. Yep. And so just be thinking about it that way, that people want to include you and your church into the conversation, and yep, start figuring out ways to insert yourself into the conversation in as many ways as possible. But start with one, and I would recommend that being Instagram.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt. I mean, Instagram is such a big deal, and I see it at Hillsong New York. That's how they communicate. Primarily, I would say email is secondary to Instagram.
Fascinating.
Really is interesting the way that works and the way that is effective today and how people, you know, communicate and where they consume content and instantly can consume content. One church I do want to highlight in full transparency, they're a client of mine, but I think they emerged in 2019 through social media in a very significant way, and that's Transformation Church and Pastor Mike Todd. Pastor Mike has over 800,000 Instagram followers. They're a church that really got started about 4.5 years ago in Tulsa, Oklahoma, not a metropolis, but in, you know, as a small, essentially a church plant in Tulsa, Oklahoma, blew up on both YouTube and Instagram. Their church Instagram, I think, has over 500,000. Their Facebook page is about 500,000 as well. And so it's just a church that leaned into social media on Instagram and YouTube primarily, and saw an explosion in putting content there. And it tells me that social media can be such a resource. Now their physical church has grown tremendously, but so has their online. I mean, they have, probably more than 250,000 people consuming their online content a week. It really is incredible how God is using social media to take their church further. And I think it's a testimony to the power of social media and how a church can really, by just making a significant investment into these platforms, can see such a massive impact. And so anyways, I want to highlight that. And if you're not familiar with Transformation Church, go check them out. And Pastor Mike Todd, and they're just doing such an incredible job on social media. Now, Aaron, I want to get into the social media platform that I'm going to focus in on 2020, and that is Messenger. Messenger is the platform that I'm going to be focused in on. I have been preaching Messenger bots for 2 years. I have not personally invested in Messenger bots on my personal platform or even on the social media church platform. Now, we have a Messenger bot on both of those platforms. Yes. We're minimally using it. I'm not personally engaged. My team is setting it up, and it's kind of a set and forget. I want to be engaged on the Messenger bot on an almost daily basis, developing it, monitoring it, engaging with it on both of the platforms of my personal page and on the social media church page. And so that is where I plan to invest the majority of my personal energy in social media in 2020. And I believe churches need to be developing a Messenger bot. But I believe before I can legitimately push it as much as I have, I need to personally be more invested. I need to better understand it. I need to understand even how it's developing, because I studied it closely 2 years ago, and then I continue to preach the same thing that I did then, but things are changing. And I think where artificial intelligence is coming into these platforms, Messenger is going to be a big part of our future. And so, yeah, that's the platform that I'm going to be prioritizing in 2020. It's maybe not as much of a social network though. So I do want to kind of give that, but it is a part of Facebook, which yes. is, and this is an app. This is part of their family of apps. Yes. So that's where I'm focusing, Aaron. I'm curious where you plan to focus.
Yeah. I just to comment on there, are there other aspects besides the bot aspect of Messenger that you anticipate being excited about? Cause I realize that you said, and while you think about your response to this, I hear that you say it's not a social network. But I think it's, and that might be true, but again, I think we're really entering a phase between 2019 and 2020 where we're redefining what is a social net. What is that? And it's not MySpace. It's not Facebook. It's not what we've traditionally understood a social, an all-in-one social network to be. A social network is a network of conversations. It's digital community. And so what I think is so fascinating, reinforcing everything that we talked about, we learned from 2019, what you're most fascinated with is the intimate conversations that happen. And this is why I ask outside of a bot, I'm curious if there are things within this app, which is essentially a glorified texting app.
Yes.
A more robust, a more communal, I would argue, texting app. I'm curious. So it surprises me in the sense that I didn't even think about it. It wasn't on my radar in that way. But it doesn't surprise me in the sense that this is where we're moving. We're moving to a culture where it's all about the DMs. And it's all about the intimate digital connection relationships that we have. And so it's not surprising at all that Messenger would be that focus for you. But I am curious, because bots are really interesting. And yes, you've been preaching bots for a long time. I've done my due diligence a couple years ago with bots, but I've, like you, been kind of out of touch recently. But I'm curious, outside of bots, is there something else about the Messenger app that you're really curious, or that you think you're going to stumble across, or that you really want to investigate in 2020?
You know, I would say it's the automation aspect of being able to help give custom content to people that is unique to them, but automated from a communication path. And so that as I'm interacting with people, I can speed up the number of people I can directly communicate with through automation, and then integrating a combination of automation and personal response. And so that's really where I, and then what I see developing and why I'm going to prioritize this is, I think LinkedIn, there will be LinkedIn bots in the future. I think there will be Instagram DM bots. I think bots are a big part of our future from a communication standpoint. I don't want to say her name, Alexa, because she'll go off if I say her name. But that's basically a bot. It's a voice bot. And so when that happens,
that's wildly entertaining to me, by the way. It's just like, it's a her, first of all. Oh my goodness. That is funny.
And she's a big part of my life. But I've gotten into building some skills for that. But really the way bots work is it's basically like this, like automate, like you kind of come in and you choose your own path. And then there's AI. If you say this, I'm going to respond with this. And but then you can set up all kinds of things. You know, we can here in New York with delivery.com, I can have ice cream delivered to me, and I pay through Facebook with Messenger so easily, and they deliver it to my house. It's incredible what is possible through Messenger. I want to figure it out better. I want to figure out how to sell things on Messenger. I think for all the nonprofits I want to work with, how can they increase donations through Messenger? How can, I think my vlogs, I'm going to start communicating those out through, and these are podcasts we actually do on the SMC bot, but we don't drive a lot of engagement there. It's just whoever happens to find it. And so I want to prioritize getting people engaged with me on Messenger, with Social Media Church on Messenger.
And will your personal profile, will your personal profile have a bot? Like, are we talking like that level?
You have to have a page. You can only,
but would you set up a, I guess you wouldn't do that. Do you anticipate that being a world?
I do. Okay. And I think what it is, we're going to just, and you're seeing this even with some Gmail stuff of like, there's just some auto responses that, that are, do you want to just say this, that are trying to speed up communication. So I do think that will become more and more of email as well, and how communication happens. So automation is going to become more and more part of our lives. But what I don't think what I don't want to lose is personalization. And so how can I speed up? Because I am at a place, and I've been at a place where I can't respond to every email I get. I can't respond to every text message I get. I want to, you know, I hope to, I try to, but there are limits. And so I want to try to create scale to be able to help as many people as I possibly can. And so I don't love automation, but I think it's something that can help, and help a lot of people, and help people that want to reach people. I think about a church like Transformation that went from like 500 to 50,000, you know, seemingly overnight. How do they help engage that congregation?
Totally.
You've got to think at scale. And I think automation and messenger is a significant place to do that. And I think it's going to be a big part of our future. So really figuring out the automation, figuring out the AI, figuring out how to grow and move people into it, how to track and create segmentation within it. So Chat Fuel is what I use to build messenger bots. And I'm going to lean into Chat Fuel. I'm going to go to as many webinars as I can on Chat Fuel. And I'm going to lean into Messenger this year. And I hope everyone listening to this will subscribe to our Messenger bot and send us a message there, and send me a message. And I'm going to, and you'll see as I get better in Aaron, I hope you challenge me throughout the year of how's it going on Messenger.
So. And all you have to do is comment on one of SMC's Facebook posts. It's that simple. I get surprised by it every time. And it's like, oh, this is great. But again, it's the bot isn't worked out. It's not fleshed out. It's not even working at even 1% capacity of what it could do. But it's really cool that you can just take something as simple as just commenting, like because it lowers the bar for what people have to seek out. Like, they don't have to send a message. They don't even have to find your page and then send a message. All they have to do is comment on something that they were probably already engaged with, and then they get subscribed to that messenger bot. So check that out. Comment on as many Facebook things as you can, and you guys can all challenge Nils as well.
Through your comments. Where are you going to focus 2020? Yeah,
good call. So I want to take the question in a little bit. I'm going to say my 2020 wish list, because my focus is unlike yours. While it's admirable, I would fail miserably. My priority will continue to be Instagram until the audience that's engaging with me disappears from there and goes somewhere else. And I don't anticipate TikTok being the place. While I will be posting content there, learning it, because it is a very different avenue of creation and consumption than we have ever seen before. And that fascinates me, and it's entertaining as well. I don't know that my community is there. Maybe it will be eventually, and then they can catch up on all the cups of coffee that they missed with me. But my wish list, there's two things that I'm wishing for. There's something called voice.com, and you should go over to voice.com. And I saw Nils put it back on my radar. I have a friend that is that I played football with at Oregon State, who is super, he turned me onto it first, super interested, and it's coining itself as the first decentralized social network, to where it is exactly what Facebook is not, in the sense that it is completely transparent with what is happening and how you are receiving things, all of that. It's completely transparent. And so I want something like this that's just completely new and different, in the same way that TikTok is, but in its own right, to take off. And so Voice, V-O-I-C-E, voice.com. Nils posted about it recently. I need to do my due diligence and go back in there and look to see where they're at. I subscribe to their mailing list for when it's going to launch, which I don't remember what that is. Nils looks like he's looking on his computer, so he might be able to weigh in. But voice is something that I'm really interested in, because I think it's going to be so different. I'm just curious to see what a decentralized social network looks like. And do they have a launch date on their Nils?
I don't see a launch date, but I thought the beta was going to open up in January.
Okay.
But
so that's my wish list.
You, I'm fascinated by voice.com and what this is going to be like. And if there is one that I think is worth tinkering in for a month when it launches, this will be that platform. It really intrigues me.
Yeah. This one seems legitimate. Like, it actually seems, kind of legit. I guess there's three things. So the second thing on my wish list is, and Nils has done a great job of toying this all throughout 2019. So you need to listen to some previous podcasts, but talking about who is going to adopt Twitter, or who is Twitter, who's going to link up with Twitter. I don't know who's going to adopt who, but who's going to link up with Twitter, because I love Twitter and I cannot believe how good you can tell Nils and I are sports fanatics. That's why Bleacher Report even entered this conversation. I am amazed at how good they are delivering me, not delivering me sports news, consolidating the games that I care about, the scores that I care about. They've made them visually beautiful to where I'm wishing, and this is why it's on my wish list. My wish is that Google steals them, because I have a Google Pixel 2 XL phone, and so Google is natively wired in there. Google is this close to actually delivering my sports news to where I don't need Bleacher Report and I don't need to go natively to Twitter. They're so close. They're missing really key elements like plays as they happen, more details about the specific game, but how they are notifying me. Like, I have automatic games that get pinned to my screen 5 minutes before they start. The problem is they don't tell me enough information to where I don't need to open up the Bleacher Report app. I still need to do that. I still need Twitter. But if Google and Twitter get together, what could be created because of the automation of Google, because of how well Google personally knows me, and because of how much I care about the conversations that happen on Twitter. I myself am not a contributor on Twitter. People don't care about what I say. I'll tweet, I'll do all that stuff, but there's very little response. But I certainly care about the conversations and the news breaking aspect of Twitter. And if Google and Twitter get together, my personal needs on the Google side, my interests on the Twitter side, and get together, I would completely eliminate certain apps from my phone because it would be that good. And so there's stuff that Twitter is lacking as well that Google's providing me, and there's stuff that Google's lacking that Twitter provides me, to where I would love to see Twitter get a boost. By anybody. I don't care who that is, but I would love to see Twitter get a boost, because Twitter is doing the due diligence. They've just, I don't even know what word or adjective I would use to describe what state they're in. But it's they're just so close. And I think Google is so close in certain aspects of what they're trying to deliver me. So that's on my wish list, some sort of marriage. Nils, I don't know if you have thoughts
Fascinating, man. I mean, I'm going to just second the voice conversation even more. February 14th is their beta opening. So Valentine's Day 2020 is when they'll be opening up the beta. So go to voice.com, check that out.
You might find a Valentine's Day date.
Yes, I might be actually jumping on February 15th to keep my marriage strong. So yes. You can look for us on February 15th.
I think
that's neat. And then I cannot believe that we talked social media for, it's now almost like an hour and a half, and not brought up Twitter. I think it speaks to where Twitter is today.
Exactly.
It's one of my favorites as well, but it's niched. It's not a mass social network, and it's still 300 million active users, but it is a news app. And I think you're right. I have said for a long time that I think Google should acquire Twitter. Now, personally, I think Jack Dorsey is my favorite CEO of all of these leaders in this space. I think he's a fascinating leader, an innovative leader, just a genuinely good guy. And I would love for him to become the CEO of Google and see what might happen there. Google has gone through a significant leadership shift this year. And so that will be interesting to see if something like that does take place. We will see. We will see. There is a lot of attention going in a lot of different directions and a lot of things that could happen in 2020. So I think it's what's exciting about this conversation is we will have to keep having conversations, because things will keep changing. The opportunities will keep increasing, and churches need to just dig in to social media, because it clearly is not a fad. It clearly is something that is shifting the landscape of our culture. And it is not a distraction from the mission of our church. It is a tool that we can use. Now, it is something that has some negative impacts and addictive behaviors that come out of social media. But at the core, we have a tool today that we've never had in history that is allowing for incredible ministry for those churches and ministries that are leaning into it. So I hope in 2020 you'll lean in. I hope you'll be a part of this conversation. And I hope you will go to socialmedia.church, get the show notes for today's episode, go listen to some old episodes, and let's get ready for 2020. Look for some great content, some exciting things coming. Socialmedia.church. Let's dig in together. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast.